This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 112. Dongles dangle, but they don't fall down. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And Magic Mystic has syphilis.
Again.
Okay.
Well, it flared up again. You never get rid of it.
No.
It was all bristly, and she had to go put some topical cream, and then the topical cream made it more infected because it was bad.
Yeah. That's why you shouldn't, just jump on anything, people.
Don't just put things in your face or in your genitals. What? It's the truth.
I know, but the thing is, I'm laughing because it'll be like 3 or 4 weeks before she actually listens to this episode of the podcast.
And then she'll be like, wait a minute. What genitals? Oh, wait.
Wait, what? What did you say? It's going to be so
like, funny. Someone put what in my who? Yes, exactly.
But what we didn't do was remind you guys to visit us on the website, which is www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to our long one. You can check out our posts and articles and comment on them directly, or you can use our hit us up link to ask us something. We're trying to get better at responding. We're sorry. If you're not listening to us through iTunes, you can check us out through any RSS read. And we're also part of the All Games Network.
You can catch our show airing on the All Games Radio Network Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Or you can listen, as Pandalicious said, through iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Put it in your RSS reader, put it in your pocket, put it on your iPod. You can even get it on your Zune. That's how good we are.
Whoa.
You can get it on your Zune.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Make your hat go boom, boom. My supernova. All right. Anyway, I had a Disney moment. Look, I don't watch it all the time, but that's stupid. Anyway, I'm not going back there. I'm going to be good. As you can tell, I'm still a little hoarse. PAX was awesome.
Yes, rub that in. Why don't you?
Counterclockwise or clockwise?
Surprise me.
Okay.
It's a 50-50 shot that I'm going to guess which one you're going to do.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. No, the show was great. The people there were very gracious. Chris Palladino is a punk. If you don't know who Chris is, he's one of the faces of the Gamerscore blog over at Gamerscore. And was supposed to do an interview with me that was actually supposed to be part of the podcast last week. But he's a punk and can't feel his phone vibrate and or hear it ring.
That's why he should put it in his crotch, because then he'll definitely get a rise.
The thing is, you would think, right? You would think.
I mean, I put my cell phone in my boobs, so I'm like, someone's calling me, and then I know.
Here's the thing, I don't even have to put it in the boob pocket. I can have my phone in my pocket and feel it vibrate, whether my hand is on it or not.
Anywho.
Yeah. He tried to whip his crackberry. I was like, look, I got them. I was like, yeah. Yeah, you didn't hear him, and you're a punk. But he has agreed to get on the Skypeity Skype at some point in time and actually give us that interview, so we'll see.
Yippee!
If he's less of a punk. I'm going to
write
him.
Let's see if he's 0-for-1.
Yeah, I'm going to write him and see if we can score some t-shirts and goodies and things like that to give away.
Dude,
to the computer.
I want a t-shirt.
To make up for, the lack of the goodness for the community.
I want a t-shirt.
So since it's just the two of us, I'm going to kind of rehash some of the things that I didn't get to talk about this week from PAX. And
go right ahead. I'm tending to my sprained ankle.
Yeah, you should not fall down things that you can do injury permanently and or maim yourself.
I should just stop falling.
That would also be a good thing to do.
Yes.
I don't recommend falling.
I mean, falling in love, okay. Yeah. That one's a safe one because
you
don't get hurt.
Well, it's not really safe.
No, because when you fall into it, it's not a problem because it's like, oh, it's nice and soft like a marshmallow. But when you fall out of it, that sucks when you want to key somebody's car or, like, throw bologna on their paint so it eats through it. Or pour mustard all over their windshield and say, you prick.
Or just slice their tires. Let me tell you something.
Ah, see, you can't just do that.
No, you can't just
hit them in the pocket.
No.
You got to embarrass them.
No.
Or, like,
Trust me. Photoshop them
with some animals.
No, photoshopping them with animals doesn't go anywhere because everybody can tell the Photoshop. You want to hurt somebody? You go to their car, you slash every tire on their car, and you fuck up that front windshield.
How about we piss in their gas tank? Would that work, too?
Do you know how long it would take to gather up enough pee to put in the gas tank? Again, you don't have a point-and-shoot interface, but we're getting off topic. It's a nice podcast. Not saying that
we've been done
wrong.
You know how many guy friends
wrong.
I have? It wouldn't be hard.
True. I'm not saying that we've been done wrong, but you really don't want to get on the bad side of either one of us.
No. I'm a vindictive bitch.
I'm not vindictive.
Oh, I am. Like, underlined 3 times, exclamation, exclamation.
I'm just evil.
I'm vindictive. She's
when
evil.
When I'm angry.
We're never crazy.
Never crazy. Just never. Evil when I'm angry.
Anyway.
So, catching up from PAX. And I've just realized that the majority of this is going to be a video game podcast, but I do have some gadget stuff to talk about, and I do have a couple of anime things to talk about, oddly enough.
I like gadgets.
So I'm going to kick off first with gadgets.
Woo!
Yeah.
Are they attachables? Are they bigger than a bread box?
No.
More than a bread box?
No. No, it's more than a bread box.
Do they have infinite cool gadget powers?
Not infinite. I mean, it really just depends on how much power you're actually flowing through and if you pay your electric bill or not, but fairly
they
close
have
to it. It has glowing lights, so just shush.
Okay.
You'll like it. I got a chance to actually stop by the Razer booth.
Am I getting any more cool stuff?
You're such a dork.
I like them. This headset is comfortable, B.
Well, here's the thing. New headset coming down the pipeline.
Ooh.
They've got a lot of great stuff going on over there at Razer. I actually got a chance to talk with the president of the company, which I'm going to be putting up kind of the bits and pieces that I really pulled out that I thought were great of our interview later on this week up for the site for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
But he was able to actually give me a tour of all of their products, so not just their headsets. I don't PC game a lot.
But I do.
So I really haven't been aware of everything that Razer has to offer, and I was really honest with Robert about that and said, you know, I know about some of your audio stuff because we've had the chance to review a little bit of it on the website, but I really don't know much about your other project line. So he was gracious enough to walk me through some of their entertainment audio stuff as well as some of their keyboards, their gaming services, and some of their other mice. I didn't score one of those awesome Death Adder PAX Brandon mice, but that's okay. I did score one of their little pro-click mice that actually is one of the high or top-selling mice for Razer.
Can I have it?
No, you can't have it.
Please?
You already got a headset. The mouse is mine. Suck it up.
Do I get the other headset?
No, you don't get the other headset. What are you going to use 2 headsets for? Shush. So the little pro-click mice is really nice. It's compact. It's kind of the...
What are you going to use it for?
Will you just let me do my job and stop being greedy?
Okay.
Elevate your leg and listen and learn.
It is elevated.
Well, then listen and learn.
And I'm wearing pants today.
Well, I'm so proud of you. Listen.
Okay.
So the ProClick mouse comes in a bunch of different colors. Kind of a snowy white pearl kind of color. A very luscious red maroon color and black. I scored the black one. It
of course.
The infamous tri-headed Razer logo snake that illuminates nice and blue and actually pulses blue.
Yes, I know. It's on my headset.
Well, it's on my mouse, too. It is a multi-button mouse with a scroll wheel, and the scroll is actually very sensitive. But I have little monkey paws, and what I love about this mouse is that it actually fits comfortably in the palm of my hand, and my fingers just crest the top of it. No! Sit and shut up!
Okay.
And it mouse is very great. I was even kind of surprised on a semi-reflective surface, it tracks really well as well. So that was a huge help for me while I was out there, because working on a desk, I was able to actually very comfortably mouse around and get to all the things that I needed to do. So I've been very happy with the ProClick mouse. Runs on two AA batteries, which are actually included and happen to be Duracell batteries, which is kind of nice. So the whole kit is there. It's going to run you, I think they said the manufacturer's price is like $60 or something like that. But very light, very compact, comes in a nice little fake velvety pouch with the Razer symbol on it. Bluetooth, so without a dongle, which is great, because who wants to have additional things poking out of their laptop? Not me, thank you very
much.
You know what? That's another podcast.
That's all I said. Oh, so it was well.
Yeah.
There might be somebody out there who's like, I love when things dangle off of my laptop. Jingle jangle.
Okay. Moving on back to the mouse.
Okay.
I've used it a little bit when playing the Spore Creature Creator, because it's one of the few things that I actually have on my computer as far as games right now. And it's been really responsive on an actual mouse pad. I find that everything tracks exactly the way that I want to. So I'm very happy with, you know, this mouse, not just because it was free, but it's actually the perfect size, I think, for traveling. It was a little cramped trying to use it on the plane, but I think that if you are on the road, going into a hotel, need to have a mouse, this is definitely a great travel companion. I don't like the Targus Mini Mouse one because I think it's way too small, and it winds up having to arch my hand to like push the buttons down, and then I get a cramp. No cramps, very comfortable, easy glide, fairly good price for the fact that it's a Bluetooth without a dongle and it comes with a battery. If you're looking for a travel mouse, you definitely ought to check this one out. It's kind of sweet. Now, as far as their audio stuff, that was really cool. They have a new headset that they actually showed off at Leipzig at the games convention. And unfortunately, they only had one mock-up functioning version, which Robert kind of admitted to sort of kind of destroying during the demo.
Ooh.
So they didn't have one, but it's called the Megalodon. If you have a chance to go to the Razer website, which is just razerzone.com, RazerZone.com, you can actually check it out. And what's great about this headset, just from the spec sheet that I saw, some of the high-res art that they had available, and the press kit information I was able to score, and my conversation with Robert, so I really kind of got inundated with information, is this headset looks to be like the pro gamer headset moving forward. So what they've done is, the higher-end headsets and audio stuff that Razer does usually requires that you actually install a audio card that they've created that has some very, very high-end stuff, 5.1, 7.1, surround sound, ridiculously amazing audio setup. Well, what they've done is they've actually created a headset and controller combo where the audio card and firmware is actually all on a control center for the headset. So rather than having to put that architecture in a card into your machine, which really now limits it to just being able to be used for the most part in towers, unless you have a rig that you're building your own as far as a notebook, having that control center now as part of the headset and can travel with the headset, you can now have a USB connection that you can take from PC to Mac to Linux and have all of the drivers, all of the firmware actually follow along on the headset. So the headset is actually a surround sound headset.
Shut up.
Yeah, the controller's touch sensitive, very much like their Mako set of speakers that has the audio controls that are touch sensitive and light up and follow you around the path. Well, the Megalodon set actually has the ability to isolate each section surrounding the player. So whether you are gaming on a desktop or a notebook, you can actually isolate your compass directions as well as the points in between. and turn the volume up independently in areas. So if you're playing a game, let's say something like a Call of Duty or things like that, where you want to be able to hear people sneaking up on you in different directions, you can actually isolate out each independent area and then turn up the sound sensitivity.
Right.
So that you can amplify sounds that are supposed to be cueing from the rear so that you can really hear your enemy coming.
That's cool.
We used it a little bit, and the demo that he showed me on the system was a video that showed someone actually going through and isolating the back area, and then it kind of simulated how that sound would sound on the system, which coming out of their Mako system wasn't exact, because you're talking about a surround sound system and a different surround sound system, but you could definitely tell that areas were queued up louder than other areas. So I'm really interested in seeing what that actually turns out to be, because that kind of thing as a portability thing would be a great thing as far as computer gaming goes, because now you could go to a BYOC competition or a gaming competition with your own headset that's queued up exactly as you want it to hear for whatever games that you're playing, and kind of get an added edge. You pair that with their new Lycosa keyboard, and now you're talking about something ridiculous. The Lycosa keyboard actually lets you program all of the keys on the keyboard.
Right.
Not just the function keys.
Oh, see, now I'm looking at this Megalodon, and that looks sexy as fuck.
Yep, the Megalodon looks hot. Not only that, it looks crazy comfortable, and they're thinking about, because the controller piece of it really is what drives everything, that they may be able to pair it with some higher-end headphones moving forward. So this model may wind up actually being kind of their entry-level Megalodon series, and you might see a Megalodon 2 and 3 that are more on the pro-end series of stuff. But it's probably going to retail for about $149.99, and I definitely want to get my hands on one of those to try that sucker out, because...
You don't PC game!
No, but I do Mac game and podcast and suck it.
Whatever.
You got a headset. You can suck
it. It's obsolete!
Everything is obsolete. We're talking about electronics. If they make something right now, this minute, guess what? 5 minutes from now, it's obsolete because they're working on the next one. Suck it up and deal. But the Lycosa keyboard looks amazing as well. All the keys are backlit. They use that very content-sensitive material like they do on the mice. So if you imagine the bat suit, what it would feel like, that's what the keys feel like. They're all backlit with the nice, deep, rich blue that Razer's been known to use, which they are slowly moving away from because they feel that that's been done stylistically, which it has. Everybody's putting backlights and everything and coloring the backlights and that kind of stuff. But what I loved about the keyboard is that you could actually cycle on what keys you want backlit at one point in time and program that. So he showed me a mode where the only keys that the backlighting was on were your WASD keys. So
right.
If you're gaming and you're doing kind of an all-night LAN party, those keys are easily identifiable, especially because the keyboard is mostly black. So them being nice and vibrant blue lit out, very easy to see. You can also map them to other keys that you'd want to have illuminated, including the whole board. But you could program each individual key. So you could actually create macros and trigger them by whatever keys that you wanted. And it comes with software to actually help you learn how to create those macros, so you don't have to do it on your own, which if you've never created a macro before, it can kind of be a little bit intimidating. So the fact that that all comes bundled with the keyboard is kind of awesome, because now you can literally roll up into any LAN party with a keyboard and a headset.
You can come with a steel case with shades on and like a trench coat and just be like, swoosh, and have it all set up and be like, come to bone.
Pretty much, because all of the Razer stuff has onboard memory. So all the programming that you do on the keyboards, on the mice, the pro gaming mice specifically, and the headsets all follow with those peripherals, and they all talk to each other. So literally, you could go in with whatever your delay settings are for shooting game FPSs, or your delays for casting spells in whatever game that it is that you're playing. You can actually preload all that stuff up on your keyboard, your headset, and your mouse, and roll to any LAN party, up to any machine. And as long as it had a connection, which is USB for all of this, you can then have your settings on that machine followed through because the firmware is all there.
Oh my god, I want this stuff.
So you could have less of people having to haul their computers across the country and just show up with their mice, their keyboard, and their headset and begin to lay down the pwnage. So as far as gadgets go, I was really impressed with Razer. There are some other people there showing off their headsets, and I'll be talking about those a little bit later in the week as well, including Plantronics, which I wasn't very impressed with, but I do appreciate the fact that they're trying to really take their audio seriously as far as the gamer market goes. But now I'm going to talk about a game. Yeah.
Okay, what game?
All right, so there is a little bit of a snafu, sort of kind of perpetrated by me, but not completely. So I had arranged to have a booth tour with the Gamecock guys. Are you familiar with Gamecock?
Gamecock!
I'm going to go with yeah on that. So they are producing a game people kind of looking forward to, FPS, called Legendary. So I wanted to go through their booth, really see what Legendary was about. They had this Mushroom Man game that was going to be out on the Wii, and I wasn't really interested in that, but everybody and their cousin wanted to see Legendary, and I had made my appointment, was looking forward to going through, trying it out, talking to somebody about it, taking a couple of pictures, and then moving on to my next booth. Problem was, when I made my appointment, I didn't really double check what I had going on that day. So I had, two appointments pretty much at the same time going on. And while I'm good at being a ninja, I can't really be in two places at once. So I went to the other one, got stood up, and by the time I made it over to Gamecock, they didn't have anybody to talk with me, but they were like, hey, go through the booth if you want to, it's cool. Here's the problem. The Gamecock booth was set up like an arcade. They built wooden consoles for everything they were showing off, and then just had the controllers for whatever console that game was going to be on sitting there. It looked really cool, but it was a very confined space. So I got stepped on.
Well, you're tiny.
I got pushed out of the booth. I got pissed.
In that order?
Pretty much. So I decided, fuck this. Fuck Gamecock. I'm just going to go someplace else. I don't really like FPSs all that much anyway, so I figured, oh, everybody and their cousin's going to talk about Legendary anyway, so I'm just going to say, fuck it. Well, as I was walking around their booth, I caught a glimpse of a booth babe that I didn't realize was for a game that I'd never heard of. And they were in the midst. She was kind of very kind of Catwoman-y in that she was dressed in leather from head to toe and it covered. But she was being posed at the time, so somebody was unzipping her jacket and so it's like, woo, it's a little chilly in here. Nipple, nipple. But, you know, I was good. I didn't take a picture because I didn't want to perpetrate, you know, that fraud. Well, the game was called Velvet Assassin. And I got very, very curious about a game with a female lead, as you can imagine.
Was she black?
No, but that's okay.
We're getting there.
She's a female lead.
Right.
So, tried to venture back into the booth, and I couldn't find the game anywhere. So I figured that it was one of those, oh, we're promoing this, but we don't have it for demo, that kind of thing. Tried to find someone to drop a card with and couldn't, so I was like, well, so much for that. Maybe it wasn't meant to be. Well, the next day, which was Sunday, so things were much more slower in the morning, being the last day of the convention, I was able to actually make it over to the booth and get a couple of minutes with someone. And so I mentioned that I'd been there the day before, couldn't find anybody to drop my card, had an appointment, blah, blah, blah. People were busy. They were really apologetic and said, well, what were you interested in? And I said, well, I was interested in Legendary. I said, but that's been done and everybody and their cousin knows about it. And the guy's like, well, do you want to know about Velvet Assassin? And I was like, yes, I would love to know about Velvet Assassin. And he goes, well, let me see if I can get somebody here to actually run you through our demo. And sat me in this sectioned off area that I didn't realize was their demo room. And that's where they were hiding the game. So they actually brought in one of the developers. The company that actually created the game is Replay Games. And Gamecock is actually publishing the game here in the U.S., but it's not one of their in-house games. The game basically stars a character named Violet Summer. And, well, here's a little snippet of what the game is supposed to be about, and then I'll tell you what I saw, and you can tell me what works and what doesn't here for you guys. Violet Summer was born in Devon, England, had a happy family, worked in a beauty salon before the war came out. Yes, we are fighting Nazis, because who doesn't
like
to fight?
Who else should we fight?
Who doesn't like to fight the Nazis, you know? And so the war inspired her to go and join the weapon industry. It didn't take long for her to get noticed by Secret Services. She's very athletic. She got recruited into MI6.
And did she know 007?
I don't know if she knew 007, but you definitely kind of get that sort of vibe, like she would be a female 007. Her aunt and her man, who was a RAF.
Her man?
Yeah.
Her As man, in her husband, man?
Him, man, husband, dude, guy she was porking.
Get you know, killed. Why do you say porking? Because, you know, I like to eat pork, so I don't want to attribute things that I do to foods that I eat. Say, like, hey, man, I was beefing last night. Like, that sounds gross.
Well,
and pork
beef is gross.
Yeah, so don't say porking.
Boning?
Okay, that works.
Okay. Get killed. So then she's even more driven to bring the Nazi bastards down.
Bring the Nazi bastards down.
I don't know about you, but I don't know how, a whole lot of people that go from working in a beauty salon to, like, taking out Nazis, but okay.
So I'll style your hair and then put my foot up your ass.
I put a hot iron on you in your anus, but anyway.
Sorry.
Anyway, so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna ride this ride because I'm already getting a little antsy about what we're about to see because I'm like, you know, imagining good-looking woman used to do makeup and hair and now she's supposed to be buff and kill a bunch of people and she's probably
That gives them the excuse to make her ultra hot because she went to school to make people ultra hot, so she's gotta be.
Well, she's pretty hot. She's definitely got a goth thing going on. But the game starts out, and this is where I started getting interesting. Violet is laying in a hospital in a bed, and she's just kind of dead staring at the camera. And we realize that she's in a coma. So mm-hmm. The game starts with her at the point of being in the coma, and you relive through her memories, which are the mm-hmm. missions.
What does this sound
like? Wound
up
in the coma. It gets better. So she's in this little white nightdress thing.
Uh-huh.
A little bloody while she's in the coma. So as you start playing in the game, basically it's a stealth action game. Third person. You gotta hide in the shadows, kind of all Metal Gear-y, sneak up on people, take them out. What's really cool is that she's quite violent, and when she sneaks up on people, she always has a knife. She can carry two weapons, a pistol weapon and a shotgun, multiple fire, you know, long range type weapon. But she always has a knife on her. And when she sneaks up on people from behind, she stabs them in the spine to kill them.
Nice.
Kind of cool. Then you can drag the bodies and hide them so that other people don't see what's going on and you don't alert them to your presence and things like that. So
like it's a lot peekaboo.
Yeah, so it's a lot of stealth mission, but, you know, there's definitely head-to-head combat as well. Whenever you're in the shadows, Violet actually becomes outlined in a violet glow to let you know that right now you can't be seen. So you can turn off lights so you can kind of hide in shadows and things like that.
You can be a rogue.
What's interesting is we get a couple minutes into the demo and I realize that Violet's picking up these needles. I have no idea why she's picking up these needles. But she's picking them up rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Violet shoots up with morphine. Or can
she's a drug addict?
Well, not really. What happens is when you shoot up with the morphine, the stage becomes super slow. So in essence, you become super fast.
Fast.
So that if there's any, you know, like a multiple enemy kill that you need to do, you could shoot up with morphine and then basically make your enemy slow enough that you can outrun their bullets, stab multiple people before the morphine effect wears off. And I thought, okay, well, it's not like I haven't seen this mechanic before, but it might
BioShock, work. BioShock, anyone?
BioShock. There are all kinds of games where you take something. I mean, even Narc had you shooting up, and then you became super fast, and everything around you became like Million Dollar Man, like cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, slow.
And that opening introduction slightly reminded me of Kill Bill with the whole coma and coming out of it to revenge.
But without coming out of it. I mean, basically just reliving it. But when you take the morphine, and this is where they kind of lost me, everything flashes for a second. And all of a sudden, you are Violet, but you are in your nightgown from the hospital. Everything around you is very washed out and white, and there are these little blood butterfly things that fly around while you're in this state.
Blood butterflies.
So literally when you shoot up with morphine, you're running around in your skivvies, killing Nazis. And I kind of...
They're blood butterflies.
And yeah, they're blood butterflies too. And I kind of just looked at the chick that was giving the demo and explaining everything, and I was like, so I have to be in my underwear in order to be super powered. Okay. I don't get it. And she tried to explain that when you shoot up with the morphine, you're between the two realities of Violet being in the coma in the hospital and being at this point in time in history where she killed this person. And so that's where the crossover is. And you're running around in your negligee. And I'm like, see, you keep saying that thing that makes me want to be very upset, running around in my negligee. Why do I have to run around in my negligee?
Why can't I be in normal clothes?
Why can't I be in normal clothes? Just because I'm a hot goth chick does not mean I have to be half-assed naked.
The reason why, like, they pull that from anime is because pretty much anything put on a female body becomes destructible except her panties and her bra. She could be blown up by a nuclear bomb and still have her white panties with a little pink bow attached, imperfect, like it's never been touched by anything. If you notice, everything else gets shredded off, but oh no, the panties and the bra, no, those have to be removed by hands.
I just want to know why that's the indestructible.
It's the microfibers in the panties and the bra.
I really want to know, like, where do you get microfiber. The indestructible microfiber panties?
Japan.
Well, somebody needs to send me some because I would really like to know that if I am in a coma after fighting Nazis, that at least my underwear, totally indestructible.
See, but they can be removed. They just can't be obliterated.
That's fine. I don't want them to be.
But then if they're removed, you're like, what happened to my panties? I'm like, oh, wait, they were super microfiber from Japan. Who took my panties?
Those were expensive.
And then somebody like, I did, sorry. And then they give you back your panties.
So,
oh, let's not go into panties and you, huh, Ninja?
Let's leave that alone. Fuck you! You know what?
Hey, that took me a minute to think about it, but we won't tell. We won't tell them.
All right. Well, I'm gonna let you talk now because.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's smart.
I just had more things to say about PAX. I really liked Razor, and I will play the demo of Velvet Assassin, but. I need convincing.
Okay.
The game
Well,
plays
that.
great though, and it's going to be on Xbox 360 and PC. Games for Windows. Your turn!
Okay, fine. Well, guys, I've been playing with my Xbox 360 a lot more lately. I've actually put down the WoW because I'm planning to play, oh, I don't know, Rock Band 2 and
Fuck
Viva
you.
Pinata, Trouble in Paradise. I'm actually going Viva Pinata. Don't ask me why.
Hey, if you want to use my Viva, because I beat it, Viva's good. The original Viva Pinata.
I'd love it if you'd given me.
You can borrow it.
Yeah, borrow. Exactly.
Continue.
Anyway, so I've been playing around with because I know I've been doing some of my Throwback Fridays, and I've been going and getting, older games through the arcade and playing them and doing reviews and really just touching back into the past. Well, I'm not going to talk about the past here because that's what my Thursdays are for. I'm going to talk about the present, since I live in the present, and that's far more
Are
convenient
you
for
gonna
me.
give me a present?
Yeah, you can have this. It's a bell. The bell sounds for Ninja, if you can hear it.
Thank you. Yeah, I
You're
heard it.
welcome.
I heard it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard the
Anyway.
bell through the internet.
See, it's a cute bell. Anyway. So, as of late, the arcade, the Xbox Live Arcade addiction of the week, month, possibly several months, is Castle Crashers. We have been waiting for this. It dropped. Is it awesome? Yes. Are there problems? Yeah.
Okay.
Not for everybody. But there are some problems. But here's the rundown. It's a side scroller. It's a beat 'em up. Like Streets of Rage 1 and 2, Double Dragon, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, pretty much mash them all up in a puree. Stir it, make sure there's no lumps in it. Well, actually, there's a couple of lumps 'cause they're problems.
Who got the
And
lumps?
yeah, like mashed potatoes.
Oh, well, those are good lumps then.
Yeah, but no, these are bad lumps.
Oh.
So like
Well, mashed
gravy.
potato lumps are good.
Like gravy.
Oh, yeah, I don't like lumps in the
Yeah,
gravy.
I don't like lumps in gravy either. So here's the rundown. You've got your four knights. You've got your blue one, you got your red one, you got your green one, you got your orange one. Okay, so there's your colors for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're knights, and they're kind of badass. They're all pretty much silent heroes, kind of like Link. Which is also kind of a funny reference if you think about it.
Yes.
And you're in your tavern and you're partying it up. It's a 1 to 4 player multiplayer. So, you could get three of your friends on Xbox and play, quote
Okay.
unquote,
All right.
together. And, one of the random gray guys, or in this instance, I'll call them red shirts because you understand that people in red shirts, usually, die in battle. Is it Battlestar Galactica? I think so. Or, no, Stargate. Stargate red shirts always die. They have no aim, they die.
No, Star Trek red shirts. Jesus
No.
Christ, -50 cool points.
Whatever. I'll get them back by playing all the games that you won't.
You can
Oh.
suck my left nut. Please continue.
Anyway, so yeah, so but they're gray in this one. So he gets tumbled in. And he dies. And this pretty much starts off your level. And you pretty much beat up people, you level, you beat up bosses. And there are four princesses. How convenient. Four heroes, four princesses. Unless you got somebody who's a greedy bastard in your party and wants, to mac up on all the pretty
A
princesses.
bitch for every dude. Good.
Well, it
Uh-oh.
depends.
Okay.
Because, say you get to your boss, like the first boss you get, he's this big, barbarian-ish type of guy, and if you got all four, people in your party, like, granted, I've only at best had me and two other people do this successfully, and then I'll tell you about the hiccups. So you beat your boss, and, by the time you beat the boss, there's only one princess left at the beginning, and it's the redhead. There's a redhead, a blonde, there's a black princess.
Okay,
I was
I
very
like
happy.
this,
And
yeah.
as soon as I saw her, I was like, guys, I don't care what I have to do. I want to kiss the black princess. I'm like, you guys could have the whiteies. I'm like, but that one, mine. And they're all like, okay,
Panda
Panda
likes the ladies' duck.
Light brown, actually. Okay. But, anywho. And she has, like, a little afro with, like, the pointy princess top, which is really kind of cute. But anyway, that's a different story. And when you beat them, you know, when you free the princess, all of a sudden you have to fight all of the other, all your party for her kiss and her favor.
Okay.
So you know, then you fight each other, and then once you beat everybody else up, pretty much kill them, you kiss her, and you get to go on. But as you're going on and you're getting all these princesses, there's one princess who you never see her face. Because whenever they're dragging her away, it's like she's always on her belly. So, like, her hair is dragging, so you never see her face. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the whole time as you're going through, you're like, oh, by the time you get her, she's probably not going to have much of a face.
Right.
Or, you know, she's
That's
probably like the ugly, or she's going to be the ugly
that you don't, you know, really want.
Yeah, exactly. And conveniently, she's the last princess you save. And there's an evil wizard. There's a big giant jewel that he steals. And you're trying to get the princesses, and you're trying to get the jewel back for the king. The king is an old fart who really doesn't help at all.
Okay.
Like, I mean, during one of the bosses, there's a giant catfish boss. And you have to fight him in water, which sucks. But, you know, if you don't time things right, the king actually hurts you more than helps you. But, you know, it's fun. Like, you know, beat 'em ups have always been a big, you know, I've always loved them, you know, since Streets of Rage and, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Double Dragon. Like, they've been a part of our gaming, you know, career, life, aspirations for God knows how long. And, I mean, it just brought me back. You know, and I mean, there are new dynamics to this game. I mean, like, you get these little pet orbs. They're little circles, but they're little animals.
Mm-hmm.
And they do different things. Sometimes they'll raise your stats. Sometimes they'll make you more prone to crit. You know, weapons do the same thing.
Okay.
You know, and by doing certain things, you can unlock different characters, which I think is really cool. Obviously, they got to give you achievements.
Right.
But, I mean, the animation, you know, is just, it's so awesome. You know, Newgrounds had its finger in this pie.
Okay.
You know, as does the program, the publisher and, like, creator, the Behemoth.
Okay.
And I love the Behemoth. I love their little logo with the giant chicken with a sword. It's awesome. You know, so, I mean, and it's just, it's relaxing. Because when you actually play through it, you know, out of the fact that you're pretty much only hitting the X and the Y button on your, you know, controller, you know, if you weren't paying attention to that, you would totally just think you were watching, like, a Flash movie.
Okay.
Like, it's just that deceiving, and it's that addictive, you know, and you get these sandwiches, and they make you super beefy.
Super beefy sandwiches?
They turn you into super, super beefy knights, but only for 10 seconds, and you get these cool mounts that you can ride, like this weird camel that spits, or like a little crocodile or velociraptor that bites.
I often like to ride velociraptors. He's
cute. I like the Velociraptor. You only get him, like, in the first two levels, though. But I like him. But, I mean, it's just fun. You know, and so, I mean, for the fun factor alone, I'm giving it a 4. Like, hands down. Like, probably after this recording, I'm going to go play some more. The big snag that they're having right now is that most people only get 10 minutes of play before the server kicks them out of the game. You know, okay. So the whole aspiration of getting 3 of your friends plus you together to play and managing to get to play through the game is kind of hard when you can only get through 10 minutes before everybody gets disconnected. And the Behemoth and Microsoft are working on a patch right now. I don't know if it's dropped yet or not, but they're working on a patch to work to fix that, because at the current moment, if you have a certain type of internet connection, like a network connection, mm-hmm. it doesn't work with other people's. So, you know, my NAT might be fine, but if something's up with your NAT, it won't let us play for too long together, and it will boot us.
That's you know, lame. And
yeah, it sucks. It sucks because I was trying to play with AlphaBox.
Mm-hmm.
Love you, AlphaBox. And I was trying to play with Toaster. Toaster's over there in London, and he's been having the worst luck ever trying to play, you know, a multiplayer in this game, you know, and he just sound, you know, he's like, I know, he's like, it's me, I'll just go off and cry in a corner, and I'm like, oh, but I want to play with Toaster too. Like, Toaster sound like such a cool guy, and I'm like, damn it, they need to fix this PAX. They gotta put this patch out so that we can play with our brethren on the aisle and on different continents without any problem. Though I was having problems with Xenocore, too, which was really funny.
I fucking hate it.
I hate lag, too. So, I mean, hopefully with this, you know, with the patch, everyone will be able to play, and it'll be a happy, happy, fun time. Minus the show. Ha 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 ha. Right now, I mean, I've played through the whole game traditionally. I've beaten the wizard at the end. I'm not going to spoil the ending because it's just something you gotta play. Even if it's just the demo. Because once you play the demo, you're going to want to get the points. And I think right now it's at 1,200 Microsoft points, which is roughly like $15 mm-hmm. US. I think. My conversion might be wrong. And it's just fun. You know, and Esh Mom likes to watch me play, and Hot Mess likes to watch me play. He played with me a little bit. I preferably like the Red Knight because he has an electrical magic attack. Obviously, it was a little awkward with the power distribution, you know, because I would have thought red would have been fire, blue would have been ice. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a feeling green was going to be poison, but then at the same time, I was like, it could be nature spells too.
Right.
And the orange guy, I was like, I don't know what the fuck orange guy's power going to be. What's an orange power? Earthquakes, maybe? But,
sun?
I don't know. He's fire, actually. The orange guy does fire. The blue guy does ice. The green guy does, poison. And the red guy does electricity. And obviously, the more you power up your magic, the longer your bar becomes and the longer...
I just want to know, at what point does Captain Planet come along and, fix everything?
What? Say that again. I'm sorry. Brain fart.
Yeah, keep with me now. I know you have blonde moments. I said, and now it's not going to be as funny, at what point does Captain Planet come in?
Oh.
Yeah.
If you know, we're missing a heart. We have earth, fire. We don't have a wind. No, we do have an earth because the earth is green. We don't have a wind. So without wind, we can't summon Captain Planet.
Something tells me we could come up with some wind.
Never mind. Right. I won't go there.
No.
Anywho, these guys, the Behemoth, also made another game. I think it's Alien Hominid HD, I think.
Alien Hominid.
Yes. I haven't played it yet, but if you download that, you actually get the little bee alien... From that, I think you play a bee alien in that game, or you fight them, and you get to be this really cute buzzy alien with like a green lightsaber thingy that shoots laser, which is really kind of cool. And I will probably intend to beat it several times so that I can unlock different characters. Like, you know, you get different achievements obviously by doing different things. Like there's one level where you have to ride these deer.
Okay.
And you have to navigate through this, like, mill as this big, giant, furry black thing is chasing you. Not that they ever really tell you what it is, because it's pretty much silent. There's no dialogue. So, I mean, for all you know, the wizard is just stealing the gem because the king stole it from him or whatever. Like, you really don't know. They really don't give you the premise. And, so you're navigating these deer, you know, and you have to jump over these logs or go through these doorways, which is really kind of funny because if you pay attention to it and, you know, when you go through the doorways, there's a little patch of light in the doorway, but there's no lights hanging in the mill.
Okay.
So you're just kind of like, where is the light coming from? But whatever. And if you navigate through the whole mill, you get an achievement. You know, and if you fight your way through a whole, like, boss battle without using magic, you get one. And if you play through multiplayer and you get all the kisses from all the princesses, you get one. And I managed to do that one because I'm a pimp.
Panda, P-I-M-P.
I'm a pimp named Panda. But, and I pwn with electricity. Chain lightning.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's fun. And eventually when you get a chance to play it, you'll probably love it. But, you know, I know it's going to be a while for you.
Yeah.
I will not rub it in very much.
You can suck it.
There you go.
Ew! Okay.
I went there. I went there.
You did. You did. Well, I got another place that we need to go because... Part of it's for a good cause.
Okay.
So, I don't know how many of you are aware, but at the end of PAX, Harmonix made an announcement that they were going to make a PAX 2008 collection of DLC for a Rock Band available, $2.99, and it basically featured a song from each of the video game related music bands that were playing at PAX. What was really cool about this download content pack was that all the proceeds were going to be donated to Penny Arcade's Child's Play charity.
Oh.
If you don't know about Child's Play, you are an awful gamer and you suck. If you do, then you should already have bought the pack. The Child's Play charity, basically what they do is they raise money each year and buy video games, regular games, toys, all kinds of stuff. And then they actually deliver that stuff to kids that are in hospitals for terminal things, long-term things, that kind of stuff, to basically help them get through the day. I think that it is probably one of the best things that the gaming community has ever done. Tycho and Gabe over at Penny Arcade started this, and it's just a great, great charity. So the fact that all the proceeds from this track pack are going to the charity are great. The track pack only costs $2.99. It's three songs done by Jonathan Colton, Skullcrusher Mountain. Yep. Living on the Corner of Dude and Catastrophe by MC Frontalot. And by The Darkest of the Hillside Thickets. So, $2.99, go ahead, get the PAX 2008 collection, do some good in the world, and rock out while you've got that going.
Rock out! With your cock out.
Yeah, well, no. Well, here's the thing. If your cock's out, I don't want to get a picture of it.
I didn't tell them to mail them to
you.
Not that I'm saying to mail them to me.
You will totally be delisted from a friends list if I get a picture of your cock.
Delisted.
Just to let you know. It's happened before. It can happen to you again. No pictures of cocks. Thank you. Also, which was kind of fucking sweet, Harmonix also announced that you will be able to buy a tool that will let you export the 55 songs that came with Rock Band.
Really?
To your Rock Band 2.
Really?
It's going to cost you $5.
Dude. So okay. 5 divided by 50 is 10.
Come on, you can do it. 10 cents. So. Yeah. So it's a type of thing that you can download for your Rock Band.
I are do math.
Yes, you are do math good. and there'll be an option to add export disc. And you can get those 55 tracks and have them be available with the DLC that you've already got for Rock Band for your Rock Band 2. So you will be able to bang Camaro as much as you fucking want.
Oh, I'll bang Camaro.
That's all I really need. I need The Who and Bang Camaro. Same game. Rock out.
There you go. So, boom, there you go.
Harmonix, I fucking heart you. Like, so big.
Less than 3 you, which means love.
Yeah, we have those shirts and jackets in our Freshwear store. So, that's all the stuff that I've got. Game stuff, geek stuff, we'll talk about the anime stuff later on, because there's some series that I finally got a chance to take a peek at, and I'm like, WTF. So, PAX definitely gets a 4.5 out of 5. The only reason why it's not a 5, because like most conventions, the con funk was definitely strong.
Were people not showering?
There were some funkified people
No, that is like the concrete rule of all types of conventions. You have to shower, people.
There were definitely people...
Drenching yourself in your car does not constitute a shower.
It does not, okay?
You need hot water plus soap.
Yes,
equal. And a towel, unless you want to air dry, but you don't do that if you're in a room with ladies, if you're a dude, unless they're all your hoes.
That's...
Or vice versa.
You know, another situation. But
ooh, you could get hoe dried. Hoe dried. That'd be funny.
I knew you were going to go there. But yeah, the funk. Knocked off 0.5 because holy cripes. There were some people I was standing downwind of and I was like,
not like downwind.
Yes, yes. I would have much rather stuck my face in a paper bag full of shit and inhaled deeply for me.
Oh my god, okay, why do you go to poop?
Because nothing stinks like poop, and I can say stinks like poop.
Human poop or like horse poop?
People poop, not horse poop. It wasn't
because
like,
horse poop is bad.
Horse poop is bad, but chicken shit is worse. But if I mention the smell of shit, everybody recognizes the smell of shit. Okay, if I say that it smelled like lilac, not everybody smells the lilac. Not everybody knows what that smells like. But if I say shit, everyone knows what shit smells like.
Yeah, but everybody knows what pound cake smells like.
No, everybody does not know what pound cake smells like.
It smells good.
Are you talking about lemon pound cake? Are you talking about vanilla pound cake? Are you talking about chocolate pound cake? There's all kinds of pound cake. But you know what? Shit kind of has a universal smell.
Well.
That you just can't get around. So yeah, I go to the shit.
Yeah.
When I need to convey something universally.
Okay. You're right, as usual.
I know. It's okay, Pookie. You'll get there one day.
When you're... Never mind. Won't say that.
Yeah. You're damn right you won't. So... I'm going to be at E for All.
E for All.
Pandalicious
ecstasy
will not.
For everybody. You know what?
No. Not ecstasy for everyone.
Ecstasy,
you silly.
For
that's
everybody.
A different E for All, and I'm not going to that one. Because ecstasy is bad.
Ecstasy is
but
bad.
But I will be in LA and should be running around with the All Games fam. So you should be able to check me out there. PAX was fun. We'll be doing it again. We will be available at 2010 at the Boston Heinz Convention Center.
I'll be there. Me.
And while there are some people that aren't really set yet on whether or not they like the idea of an East Coast PAX and a West Coast PAX, I'm all for the game and love spreading it across the country. So... keep hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use a short address.
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one. Check out our articles and leave a comment, or just hit us up on our hit us up link. If you're not listening to us through iTunes, you can subscribe to our podcast there. You can look for us through any RSS read, and podcast affiliation, and through the All Games Network.
Our show airs on the All Games Radio Network Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. If you want to let us know how you feel about the upcoming PAX 2010 on the East
Coast. I think it's awesome.
Coast side of
the, I'm on the East Coast
of America.
Awesome.
You can let us know.
There, 2 years. Let's do it.
I think we know where Panda stands. Woo-hoo! We'd love to know about where you are. Or if there was something
come have
PAX
a drink with me if you're 21 and plus.
If you're 21 and plus?
Yeah.
I got you. I was like, 21 and plus what?
Age.
I was like, plus what and cool points or like nerd
points? Well, yeah, you know, I don't want, you know, like you got to be cool. You have to be part of the cool kids club.
Hey, I'm part of the cool kids club. I've got the great picture with Major
Nelson. Are you sure?
I'm not even answering that. but I've got
you're part of the
great
cool kids
pic
club.
Of me and... Major Nelson.
Yeah, I know.
Xbox experience. But what was really
funny... You spent his nutsack. That's what you're doing.
What?
Oh.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just because I like light and nerdy doesn't mean that I'm
you like the white and nerdy.
I said light and nerdy. But...
sorry. I thought that was funny.
Although,
I'll stop now.
You know, white and nerdy isn't... There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I love white and nerdy.
And there's nothing wrong with us. So, I... guess I'm going to have to call this podcast toast. I would totally take Major Nelson out to dinner.
I want
with your toast.
say that. I am going to put the toast aside, grab myself a nice cup of Earl Grey, grab myself another piece of Vicodin, and have a Vicodin sandwich. So the pain will magically go away.
You're going to use your toast as the meat of a Vicodin sandwich. Okay, well, you're not playing anything for the rest of the evening.
Woohoo! Me. Now I'm gonna play Cast Crashers.
Not on Vicodin sandwich, you're not.
Yes, I am. I'll go XXY. And that's like XXYYX. You're throwing that X sometimes.
You can go SCXXY.
Right. What are you doing with your toast?
I'm gonna take my toast and probably just slather some peanut butter on it and maybe try to get in the
Nutella.
Last vestiges. I hate Nutella, so no, I'm not putting
Vegemite.
That on my
toast.
No, God, no. Vegemite is, all right, and I don't want to offend any of my friends, so I'm just gonna stop. Probably gonna try and play
some turkey. Vestiges. Want some turkey?
Will you calm your ass down? See, this is what I hate when you get on drugs. You're just crazy when you're on drugs. Prescribed, legal, or otherwise.
Danny?
Shut up! No! Peanut butter! Shush! And play Xbox, because this is probably going to be the
jelly?
Last Xbox I'm going to get. I'm just ignoring you now at this point. The last Xbox I'm going to be able
time.
To get in
time.
Before I actually have to be sans Xbox for a couple of months.
That's okay. I'll play with mine.
It pains me. It hurts me in my soul.
We will hold a candlelight vigil for Ninja and her loss of the Xbox.
Well,
next
it's
Tuesday.
No Xbox, it's no Wii, and it's no PS3. I'm going to be playing a lot of DS, and unfortunately my DS collection is very, very tiny.
You should get a puppy game and wash a puppy in a basin.
I have a kitten game, and I kill my kittens.
You're a kitten killer?
Yeah, but...
You're a kitten killer, you kill cats. Cats, cats, cats.
But we've done the toast thing. We've talked about everything that we could possibly talk about that was fun this week. Check us out next week. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out.
Bye, everybody.
Peace.